Hey everybody, welcome to the show. This is Eric Anthony coming to you from the Cave of Solitude. This episode we got some bonus material for you from the last time that I was at the Cyber City Comics with Ronnie and Jazz. I don't know if you guys heard that episode, episode 54. It was a lot of fun recording it, and if you listen right to the very end, you may have heard me mention that we had over 2 hours and almost 45 minutes worth of material, so I had to cut quite a bit of it out. But the footage that I did cut out is not going to remain on the cutting room floor. It was a really good conversation. We were doing some catch-up and talking about Fan Expo, some of the things that we got to experience that we hadn't been able to talk about as of yet. So Jazz has some really funny stories, some of the people that they got to meet, some of the panels I got to go to, and hopefully it's informative for the listeners. I got to go to a Valiant panel. I go into a little bit more detail about Valiant Comics and how I'm kind of new to it, but how much fun I'm having reading about it. So if you do want to get into Valiant Comics and you're looking for a place to buy the books, Cyber City Comics, 1025A Steeles Avenue West. Go visit them. Tell them that the guys from Cave of Solitude sent you, and say what's up to Jazz or to Daryl while you're there. So enjoy this conversation. It's some good old-fashioned comic shop talk. I hope you guys listen to it. Thank you for listening to the Cave of Solitude, and we will catch up with you guys soon. The episode starts, it's going to be like in mid-conversation, so it's almost like you're just walking into the store and hearing a bunch of friends talk about comic books. Enjoy the episode, everybody. So God bless the kid, because we made in his image, and pay no mind to the fakes, haters, and critics. Hold your own and behold his vision. My mission
stays totally on board with this. Wicked all the way through. And even like his first ongoing, which is only 15 issues.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. It wasn't very long, but that was good too.
So how excited are you for?
Oh my God!
The show.
I'm so excited.
What is it about Iron Fist that does it?
Not just the martial arts, but
lies.
Okay, yeah, it's just the martial arts. like his suit's so cool. All the suits are cool. The new black one.
Banana slippers.
Yeah. Even the black one is so reminiscent of the original one.
Yeah.
Because the new one has the pop collar, like how his disco suit had it.
So if you had a run, like a Iron Fist run, what would be the one to
Matt
go
Fraction
to?
And Brew Breakers.
That's the one. Mm. David, that's the one I read.
Yeah. That was so good,
that's
man.
The one with Orson, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
where there's good. Two Iron Fists.
That one.
Oh my
good.
God!
I didn't continue reading that one. I finished with the first 16 issues. That was
yeah,
Brubaker.
Nope. Just read
just
that.
Stop
just
there.
Read that.
Because I think it ends with him having a birthday or something like that.
Yeah.
And then it's supposed to continue. And I was like, I wonder what happens next. But then I saw the creative team was completely different.
Yes.
And I just
and it changed. I think the writers changed like twice or three times throughout.
I think we talked a little bit about Iron Fist on the last episode, because is he having a new title come out? We
yeah,
touched
it's called
a little
Iron Fists.
Fists.
Yes, two.
Okay.
Oh, because there are two Iron Fists.
Yes, because the little girl from the last Iron Fist series that Kara Andrews did
right, I never
is
finished
now
that
the
one.
Iron Fist. Yes.
So again, that's worth it, that series?
Yeah, it's really good.
Okay.
Dude, he punches a god so hard that he doesn't exist anymore.
He made his own retcon.
Okay.
This never happened in New York. I don't know what you're talking about.
Who's the new team on it?
It's still Kara Andrews that's writing it, but I forget who's drawing it.
Okay.
I think it's him.
He's not drawing it anymore. Some like Asian guy. I don't know.
Are you a Power Man fan? Luke
yeah?
Cage? Yeah.
Oh my god, that's gonna be amazing. Cool. Every episode is named after a Gangstar track.
That's awesome.
And Method Man, Mobb Deep, and I think one other person is part of the soundtrack crew.
I can't
wait. Oh my
wait
god.
To watch
this is gonna be amazing. You understand how excited I am for this series.
The trailer was pretty awesome.
Yeah. Did you see the clip where he's fighting a dude
in the bar?
Not one dude, but like five.
Yeah.
See, I was just like, yo, smoke, and bang, he punches him in the face in slow-mo, and you see
the hand
just cracking the skin, like
yeah.
You just see the deformity.
It goes from like being a solid forearm to just it's a noodle, man.
Yeah.
The one thing with being a comic book fan, I feel like you can't ever know everything. So
yes.
There's so many characters like Power Man or Iron Fist where I've read Iron Fist, but I have very little on Luke Cage.
Okay.
So whenever one of these things comes out, it piques your interest to be like, what can you read about Like, what is this based on? Like, where do they get this material from, and what's worth reading? So it's always exciting to find something new to discover. Because I don't have much Luke Cage in my collection.
Yeah.
Did you read any other than the team up?
There's the old school team up that they did. I think it was in the 80s. Mm-hmm. They did an epic collection of it.
Who writes this?
Tiara. Yeah, with the tiara, man.
Do you think he's gonna have it?
Yeah. No, show? You see apparently it. You see it. Oh my god! It's
apparently.
You understand how like
apparently in that trailer where you see him like have it for that 1 second. There's more to it than that.
Yeah, I know, because that's where he. You know, that's.
And what's his power base? Like, what? Where? How did he get him? It was experiments, right? Yeah, it was
experiments, and like that's.
That's where you see the thing. The tiara.
Yeah.
So is this going to be taking place before the Jessica Jones?
After Jessica Jones. But there's like flashbacks and stuff, obviously, to like how he got his powers.
Okay.
But yeah, no, this stuff was great. Dude, they cross over with X-Men and they fight Fin Fang Foom. It's so ridiculous, but it's so fun.
Yeah, what year was that coming out, that epic collection? Early 80s, what is it collect? Yeah. Those are fun. They're written different. I mean, they're a little bit more cheesy the way they're written, but the stories are good.
Oh my god! The only reason why I was reading it because Power Man and Iron Fist was so good.
Did you read any? Is there any Luke Cage solo series?
There was, I think, in the '90s.
I think a miniseries.
Yeah, they did a '90s series, and then that didn't do so well. Then they tried a miniseries every now and then. And then they realized like only Power Man and Iron Fist can really sell together.
Right.
But Iron Fist on his own
is making it now.
Yeah. Like thanks before to
Carrie.
Dude, before Brubaker and Fraction wrote an Iron Fist series, like nobody cared.
I think the Fraction Brubaker run made a difference. I mean, it's all a writing team.
Yeah. And that's the thing, you gotta find the right writer.
Yeah. That's it. It's for any character.
Yeah.
There's some characters like Batman or Spider-Man that people will always read.
Yeah.
Because that's just who they like, whether the book is good or not. Mm. But it does make a difference who's writing the book.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's like some people really, really don't like Grant Morrison's Batman.
Yeah.
But I love Grant Morrison's Batman.
Yeah. You do have, though, that mix of people who don't get Grant Morrison.
Yeah. Like, is he on, like, it seems like he's on drugs.
Well, he is.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well,
he's on a lot of things.
Yeah. He said he did, like, what? He was doing drugs, and he's like, I went to a universe and talked to Bruce Wayne. All right.
Make that a book.
Grant Morrison meets Batman. Just all right. Yeah. Do you want to explain how your con was?
Oh, I brought a whole bunch of things I wanted signed. I only got signatures from Favik. And Kevin Conroy. But as soon as I got Kevin Conroy's signature in that picture, I was like, I'm done. I could do whatever the heck.
How long did it take that lineup? Because I've never done the celebrity photo op or picture. I've never done it.
Maybe like 30
minutes. I wasn't there. Why are you looking at me as if I was
there? That's not bad. 30 minutes an hour is not bad.
But honestly, like, when we got there, his line wasn't as long as, say, like, Hamill's or Burt Ward's.
But that's the thing. They were on screen, right?
Like, no.
I mean, like, those guys were actually on screen.
Hamill and Conroy, there's no comparison, right?
Yeah, because a lot of was Luke Skywalker, that's right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And he appeared on Flash. He was in, what, Jay and Silent Bob?
Mark Hamill's Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
he's probably going to go down as one of the top five most iconic characters on screen.
Yeah, definitely.
In a movie franchise, right?
Yeah.
There's only one Luke Skywalker, and the guy's still alive. So people want to get something signed. It's usually not for the Joker.
Yeah.
As much as a lot of people are... Like, for me, I think of Mark Hamill...
The Joker.
50-50.
Yeah.
Like, to me, he's Luke Skywalker, but he's also the best Joker, in my opinion.
Yeah.
He's the Joker.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, my cousin saw a picture I took with Conroy, and he's like, he kind of looks like Joker.
He could, yeah. He has
like, yeah, he could play Joker. He had the voice.
Speaking of Conroy, Jazz, tell your story.
So how mad were you when I met Kevin Conroy out on the street in front of the hotel?
I was so mad.
Dude, okay. I left at the right time, the right place, the right way he was walking.
This is what I get.
The thing is, Zubrev was just like, yo, that's Kevin Conroy. I turned around like, yo, that's Kevin Conroy! And he just started freaking out. I'm like, no way, holy crap. And I went up to him and just like, you're Kevin Conroy, right? He's like, yeah. Oh my god, it's so nice to meet you. Can I take a picture with you? And he's like, yeah, sure, of course. And
so he was a cool guy.
Yeah, and Zubrev snapped a picture. I talked to him about Just Sleep for a bit. He laughed, and I was just like, yo! I was just like freaking out the entire walk to the subway, the entire subway all the way up, and the bus ride back here.
And you were wearing your Nightwing shirt.
Yeah. So I was like losing it. He did the Batman voice and everything.
Really?
Yeah.
What did he say? Did he do the I am the Knight?
He was just talking in his Batman voice in general. He sounds like Bruce Wayne. Yeah. That's his regular voice.
Yeah.
Bruce Wayne is his regular voice. Yeah. But when he shook my hand, he looked down at my shirt and looked back up at me and he smiled.
What did he say though?
I knew right away that he was doing the Batman voice. Because he was just talking to me in the Batman voice. It was like
that tone.
Yeah.
That tone drop. Because
he was just like, oh hey, how's it going? And he shook my hand, and I was just like, hey, can I get a picture with you? And, like, the tone just goes from, like,
the register dropped.
From here, from, like, Bruce Wayne, down to Batman.
He went to Bruce Wayne in the Batcave.
Yeah.
Because Bruce Wayne in the Batcave is Batman.
Yeah. And I was like,
right?
I was like, freaking out. That voice is
incredible.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, I was totally starstruck when I saw him. Holy crap.
The thing is, all the way to Union Station, like walking all the way to Union Station, I was freaking out about it, and people in front of me were just like, who did you meet? Like, Kevin Conroy. Who? What is wrong with you people? What? He voiced Batman for 20 plus years. What? Oh my god.
I know, I just looked at
them like, I can't do this. I'm sorry. No. Just go away.
He's definitely the Batman voice in my head when I read the book.
Yeah, definitely, man.
In anything. Like, and as soon as you see, like, a Batman, you're just, like, hearing Conroy's voice.
Yeah.
I've always maintained that, because there's always that thing of after the Bale Batman voice that people started to hate.
Yes.
Because it was, like, a little bit ridiculous. When they got Ben Affleck and they were like, he's gonna have a voice modulator. I'm like, it should be Kevin Conroy's voice coming out
amazing.
Of the mod. Yeah, right?
What an Easter egg, man.
Wouldn't that be amazing that's the way he hides his voice? And what you hear
is Kevin
Conroy.
Oh my god.
Mind blown right now. I can't handle it right now.
Right?
That'd be amazing. Oh.
But I'm kind of happy that it's not, because apparently when someone asked Conroy about his opinion on Batman and BVS, and he's like, that's not Batman. Batman doesn't kill. He got a lot of flack for it, and by Batman fans too, apparently.
Well, I gotta say something about the Batman fans, because I encountered them online after BVS, and I'm a huge Batman fan, for the record.
Okay. Yeah,
I love Batman.
Yeah.
Like,
we all do, man.
Yeah.
Who
doesn't?
He's my top three favorite characters.
Yeah.
But Batman fans, like, they're ridiculously stupid. It's like the argument you have with people who like Tupac over Biggie.
They lose their Batman fans.
But that's all they like.
Yeah.
And they become like, it's to them it's just Batman. Nothing else matters but Batman. And there's no point in talking to them, because even when you bring up, I feel I'm very well versed in Batman comics, because I've read Batman before I even started reading Marvel stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what version of Batman is this that we're seeing here, other than possibly being a Frank Miller version of Batman? But even that version, you don't know if he's actually killing. He left it ambiguous on purpose.
Yeah.
And they all tore me up to shreds, saying I didn't know what I was talking about, that I have no business talking about Batman, and not that kindly.
What?
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, at the end of the day, it's just an opinion. Like,
but no, it is, but
not just that, but like the fact is that we've had so many years of repolished mythos of Batman, right? And Frank Miller redefined Batman in Batman Year One, right? Okay, that's great. Now he doesn't kill, quote-unquote, right?
In the comics.
In the comics.
He doesn't.
Definitely not.
Obviously, in the games, you can tell that he doesn't kill, but, like, all the things that he does in the games...
They might as well
be. They're pretty deadly enough.
Batman maims you. Yeah. Batman's a vigilante. There's no questioning that. Like,
have you seen gameplay for Batman Arkham Knight?
I've seen it.
There's a shield disarm where he literally clothesline the guy, takes the shield, and shoves it in his throat.
Yeah.
There's no way you're getting up from that, man. He's 270 pounds.
Is he like...
Yeah, man. He doesn't care. He's like, no shield for you. You're not getting back up.
But the one thing that Batman is known for, his one rule that separates him is that he doesn't kill.
Yes,
don't
definitely.
Kill and I don't
That's
use
a
guns.
Key storyline element. Yeah. Is that, and it's always the thing that his villains are trying to get him to do, right?
Yeah.
So if he's already past that edge... What story are we really telling anymore if we've got a Batman who just kills for no reason?
Well, now he has an excuse not to kill.
That, but like,
that's not the reason.
Give him more of like a payoff as to be like, okay, I can understand why he's breaking his rule.
He's breaking the rule in the movie because he's ready to kill Superman. Alfred actually says, he goes, you're going a little bit crazy now.
Yeah.
With this, because of this new guy, like you've gone over the edge. Because he's at the point where he's like, we can't have mercy anymore. Because this guy could wipe us all out.
Yeah.
Which is not ever the reason why Batman would do that.
He would never stoop to the level.
Yeah, anytime he's encountered Superman, he's done something to immobilize him to say, hey, listen, buddy, I could kill you.
Yeah.
Just know that. To give him the fear that he wants everyone else to have. For him.
Yeah. Right?
But he never, even in Dark Knight, he's like, just want you to know, right now, your life is in the palm of my hands.
Yeah.
But he fakes his own death. Yeah. That's Batman.
Yeah.
Right? So for Kevin Conroy to say that, you can't argue with him.
No. Yeah.
I'm not going to argue with Batman.
I'm not arguing with Kevin Conroy.
Basically, like, he's like one half of the history, other than like the comic books.
Yeah. And the thing is, he's voiced Batman for how long now?
Well, since 91.
Yeah.
92. After 92, I'm sorry. It was after Batman Returns.
And on top of that, like, there are some things the animated series brings that you still haven't seen in, like, comics. Like, the little, like, heartfelt touches with him as Bruce, or it's him showing his, like, human side as Batman.
It's which you actually
don't...
You see
that in the animated series.
You don't see enough of that in the comics.
But see, a lot of those comics, those stories, are pulled... from comics from the 70s.
Yeah, definitely.
And where Bruce Wayne was more of a character. There's the episode, you remember where he's in the fish tank with the sharks? Is that one? That's a Neil Adams, Danny O'Neill story.
Yeah, I remember that.
I love that.
A couple of them aren't coming to mind, but they definitely pulled a lot from
era. Like, there's a lot of iconic ones. The Ra's al Ghul episodes, those are great.
Yeah, those are,
the iconic, he's shirtless and they're fighting with scimitars.
And he's got the bat cowl on.
Yeah, that was amazing. Oh my God.
Yeah, there's a lot of stories from the animated series that are from pre-Frank Miller Batman.
Yeah. They weren't bad. They still hold up.
No, they're really good.
Yeah.
They're really good. They have a lot of those. You know who was a good Batman writer and sometimes doesn't get credit enough these days for how wonderful of a writer he was Len Wein.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He did a lot of stuff with Jim Aparo. I remember that.
Yeah. He did a lot of Batman stuff.
Yeah.
He had a good handle on the character, too, before the whole Crisis on Infinite Earths reboot. But he scripted Wonder Woman with George Perez. There's a lot of stuff that he worked on and created. He created Wolverine. Did you remember that he created
what?
Wolverine?
Wait, I did know that.
Yeah.
I think he's
one of the... credited as creating... after Stan Lee.
Yeah.
There's like a couple guys. Jerry Conway, Len Wein.
Yeah.
And maybe... don't quote me on it, but maybe like Marv Wolfman, who are like, have so many creations under their belt.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised with Marv Wolfman, honestly.
Yeah. And especially Len Wein, like Swamp Thing was his, and Wolverine, like I said. There's another, I think Jerry Conway did Firestorm, and...
yeah, that sounds right.
Felicity from, what's it called there?
Arrow.
There's a lot of characters on TV that these guys created. Nightwing is from Marv Wolfman.
Yeah.
So sometimes you forget how well these guys could write these characters, but some of those stories are pulled from the animated series from those guys.
Yeah.
Even the Justice League stuff.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. So what else at the con? Any other highlights? Did you guys get to go to any panels?
No.
You were working.
Yeah, I was working.
Okay.
But I took advantage of that Valiant sale that they're having. The 5 for $30 deal.
I want to talk about that.
Oh
yeah.
My God. I have 5 trades, and my brother decided to take all the other 5 that I, like, the main ones I actually wanted.
What'd you pick?
I picked Archer and Armstrong, Quantum and Woody.
Okay.
Wrath of the Eternal Warrior. There's one more. I think it was Rai.
I think you got one. I think that's 4.
Yeah, and there was one more. I can't remember. It wasn't Faith.
Ninjak
was taken by Chris because he's, yeah.
You need to read Ninjak.
I know. I love Ninjak. Yeah, I know. I would. There's one more. I think it was Exo Manowar. Oh. I got it because the guy's just like, oh, what characters do you like? I'm like, Captain America. He's like, take Exo Manowar. All right.
Did you read it?
I haven't read it yet.
Have you read any of the things from Valiant yet?
Not yet, because they're at Chris's place.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I got to go to that panel, because I've never read Valiant before,
yes.
And I don't really know anybody...
You told me this, too.
I don't really know anybody who's read Valiant recently who would give me, like, an opinion that would be, like, informed.
Yeah.
I don't know if you read Valiant yourself.
I read Bloodshot when... Not when Jeff Lemire... Like, when it initially started.
Okay.
Yeah, I read that, and I thought it was all right.
Is anybody in the store? Are they Valiant fans? Anybody here?
We have quite a few Valiant fans. I mean...
Customers.
Yeah.
But not employees.
Not employees.
Okay.
The customers that read it used to read Valiant way back in the day.
Okay.
So they're older customers, and they're very biased on Valiant, because that was, like, one of the first things that they read.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
So they have, like, a soft spot for it.
So when I went to this panel,
yeah.
Not knowing anything about it, it was the head guy in sales. I think his name is Andy Ligel.
Okay.
Don't quote me on it. Really nice guy. And the cool thing was the panel wasn't a ton of people in it.
Yeah.
So it was just him handling it with a projector. And he went over, like, to get in touch with the Valiant Universe, if you've never read anything, here's what you need to know. Here's what all the who all the characters are, the jumping on points.
Yeah.
And just giving you the gist of what each of their characters are. The cool thing is, you could read their entire line for $40 a month. You can get every Valiant book. And it's a universe continuity like DC or Marvel. So everybody goes into each other's books.
Yeah.
And they have big events, but they're not necessary to read. There's no like crossovers that you're forced to read like...
Oh, I like that. That's nice.
So if you want to, it's a great payoff. But if you don't want to, you don't have to.
Yeah.
But for $40, you can read the entire company line. And they only do like 10 books a month on purpose. So it's like customer friendly.
Wow.
So then he's going through like what the history was of the characters when they were originally created and how they've updated them.
Yeah.
So Exo Manowar is like their Superman, Captain America, like the face of the company. But his... As a character, he's more of like an Iron Man, but the
it's like a Captain America Iron Man mix from what the guy told me.
But the weapon is bonded to him.
Yeah.
So it's like a symbiote.
And he's like a guy that was from the like the Roman era that's now stuck in our modern era.
Yeah.
It's a great concept.
And Ninjak is just about like their Batman.
He's Batman he's James Bond. Double.
Yeah, he's more he's James Bondish.
Yeah.
Why didn't the guy tell me that?
Bro, I could have told you
that. Do you read Valiant?
I picked up, like, I heard about Ninjak and took an interest to him. So I picked up, like, he has an older trade, some of his older stuff. And some of the newer stuff I have, I've been collecting some of his issues. I still haven't read, like, most of them, but it's pretty good.
So, I've read the Exo, I read the Ninjak, which was awesome, from Matt Kint.
Yeah,
that guy's a good writer.
Archer and Armstrong is funny.
Haven't read Archer and Armstrong yet, but I read Faith, and I read Harbinger.
Yeah.
Incredible. Like, I'm not, it's, they honestly are, as far as a company, putting out the best product that I've read. And from what I picked up from there, and what I've picked up since.
Like, from Marvel and DC, Image...
It's just they got quality writers. who are given creative freedom.
Yeah.
But there's a continuity. So from Image, you're not going to get continuity unless it's like an ongoing title.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody's just their creator own stuff, which is good. But it's not always reader friendly to a wide audience because it's always mature or they just, it's like off the wall stuff. Good stories, but it's like uber violent or just like it's too much, right? But this, you can give it to a teenager to read.
Yeah.
But it's a little, like, it's like they say Harbinger is like the X-Men. It's their version of X-Men. They're called Psyots. But it's just a little, they're in the real world that we live in, not just like a.
And Unity is their Justice League.
Yeah. But it's all being... If these characters really existed, the government would be involved in them. Oh, so how does the government use them, manipulate them, but how did they react to it? It's incredible. And how they crisscross into each other's stories makes sense. And it's got rereadability.
There's, the way that the guy explained got me to get Archer and Armstrong and Wrath of the Eternal Warrior and something else, I can't remember what it was that the guy from Wrath of the Eternal is a clone. Oh, I read the Time Walker. That was the fifth book. Yes.
That's amazing too. I got that one as well.
He told me I've read the Time Walker, Wrath of the Eternal Warrior, and one of the guys from Archer and Armstrong are the same person. They're clones. And I was just like, what?
No, they're triplets. Yeah. They're brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're immortal.
Yeah. And I was like, what? That's crazy.
It is crazy. That it's sounds really cool.
So dope. Because, I was already sold in Wrath of the Eternal Warrior.
Yeah.
And then when he told me that, they were just, all brothers. They're all related. I'm like, what?
And they crisscross in each other's books, but not... You don't have to read the other guy's book.
Yeah.
They just do it enough. And then to make them like, oh, that's that guy. Well, I want to read where that story's going.
Yeah.
Because it affects each other, but you don't have to. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whereas with DC Marvel,
you have to read Batman, to read Nightwing.
Right? Or you even for something like the Spider-Man series that I really liked, it was Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
You could read Amazing Spider-Man. But there's a lot of details that you're missing if you don't read Spider-Woman or Scarlet Spiders, which they're not all necessarily great, but it explains what you're missing.
Let me tell you something. I'm reading Spider-Man 2099 in trade paperbacks.
Okay.
And the second trade paperback is strictly Spider-Verse.
That's right. Three issues from it are.
Yes. I went in, I was like, okay, I should be alright. I'm like, what is going on here? What is happening? Why does he need a different time? What is going on? And it's just like, oh, if you want to know more, read Amazing Spider-Man number whatever. I'm like,
yeah,
I'm not reading that. I'm sorry.
When I bought those trades, because I took your recommendation for Spider-Man 2099, and I went, and when I got to the point where it was going to be Spider-Verse...
You just wanted to read Spider-Verse?
I took my Spider-Verse omnibus, and I read it all, and then where it branched off into Spider-Man 2099, I just read that story, and then I read the Jessica Jones, and maybe it was a mistake, because now I couldn't stop reading all the Spider titles.
Yeah.
Because Jessica Jones is really good, not Jessica Drew, Spider-Woman. Yeah. It's really good.
And here's a lot of fun.
It's a really good book.
Yeah.
Spider-Man 2099 is really good, and then they did the Spider-Woman series, which was excellent.
Really?
Yeah. It was the Spider-Gwen, the Silk, all of those titles that came out of Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
Fantastic. But getting back to Valiant. As a line, I have nothing bad to say thus far of anything I've read.
Well, I'm looking forward to reading those trades then.
Oh, right next to
I have the trades at Chris's place. Never mind. Okay.
The only gripe I have with it is that the trades, the first trade, they're all $10. So, like, to get into it is fantastic.
Yeah, but then after that, it's, like, $20 per trade, right?
Well, they're $14.99 American, and then with the exchange rate. But the thing is that the next trades don't have more issues. It's not like you're getting 5 issues instead of...
It's, like, 4 issues.
It's still only 4 issues, which is kind of, like, the bummer, because it's, like, well, the first one, I got 4 or 5 issues for $10. Now I got to pay $15-$17 for another 4.
Yeah.
So I think it's the same price if you wait to get it in the deluxe edition, but I'd rather pay the $40 or whatever it is for deluxe edition than getting it in the little trades.
Did you read Harbinger Wars yet?
I just got it yesterday.
I thought you would have peeled through that already.
No, I'm going to.
Yeah.
But when I saw it here in the store, yeah, and it was still U.S. cover price.
You know what's funny is that when you told me about the Valiant panel, right? And you told me how great all the Valiant books were that you read, like, because you read the majority of them, I think.
I read the first, the trades I bought there. Yeah. The entry level ones, yeah.
And then I saw the Harbinger Wars hardcover kind of sitting somewhere. I'm like, why do I have a feeling that Eric's going to pick this up? And
as soon as I saw
I saw your, I saw a sticky note and had your name on it, and I was like, oh, of course he's buying it.
It's amazing. I didn't think I would ever read a Valiant book, because I've seen them, I've been to other stores
where they had. They look good, man. That's the thing. That's, like, I was always like, I want to read it. They look good. I just have so much to read.
They've never, and the thing is, they've, in the, since they've relaunched, they're the only publisher that's never been late from Diamond. They've never missed a shipping deadline.
Those guys are pretty good, man. They call all the local comic shops.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, what's been doing good in terms of Valiant? What's your best-selling Valiant book? What do we need to send you in order to, like, you know, get other people to read our books, whatever, whatever. And I'm just like, you know what? Like, we're doing pretty good. Like, Valiant books sell out every week. Like, we order just enough. He's like, oh, is there anybody that, like, you know, you'd recommend Valiant to? And I'm like, I've read, like, one or two of Valiant books, so I can't really judge it. And he's just like, don't worry, we're sending you a bunch of number ones. They're damaged. You could sell them for whatever.
Yeah, no, they're cool guys that way.
Or you could just, like, give them out for free. And I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, dude, are we getting charged? And they're like, nope, don't worry about it. This is all on us.
Because they did the same thing at the panel. So because the panel was small, they were just giving out stuff. If you answered a question or if you remembered something, they gave me 12 number ones or 12 issues, entry-level issues, just because I answered a question and I never read Valiant before.
Yeah.
Another guy there, they gave him a deluxe hardcover. It was a $50 hardcover. And they're like,
these guys take care of their customers.
Yeah,
man.
They're like, we want to get you guys hooked because the stuff is good. Come to our table. We want to get you on the sauce. Because honestly, I can't say anything bad about what I've read so far. There's nothing about it. They got Rob Venditti.
Yeah.
He's doing major books at DC.
Yes.
Fred Van Lente.
Yes.
Matt Kent.
They have Greg Pak.
They got Greg Pak now.
Yeah.
They've Jeff Lemire. Lemire.
Yeah.
They've had Greg Pak for Wrath of the Eternal Warrior for a while now.
Oh, have they?
Yeah.
They got top tier talent, and they got artists who are all now, like, Clay Mann is going to be doing Trinity with Francis Manapul.
Yeah.
Right, but he did the first arc of Ninjak. The art's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Clayman's awesome.
Yeah, and a lot of guys, I just, it's that guy who does Green Lantern, Rob Venditti. I'm like, if they're on Valiant, maybe they're not big enough yet.
Yeah.
Wrong. Completely wrong. Those guys, top tier talent,
get
into a Valiant book, you won't be disappointed. It's really good. Ivar Timewalker is awesome. It's like Indiana Jones with, I don't know how. Doctor
Who. Traveler.
Doctor Who.
Yeah.
You know, come with me if you want to live type of scenario. I can't wait to get into the. I don't know what to read next. Like Harbinger, I read the two trades in a day.
Wow.
Like 10 issues. Because it was just so engaging.
That's insane.
And Faith is cool. Like the.
I hear it's actually pretty good.
It's like, really good.
This book is sick.
And then there's that one too. That one too is apparently. Is that Matt Kent who writes that?
You know who does the art? Clayton Crane. The guy that was drawing Carnage for a while.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's
I went to really two sick. Valiant panels, and I was happy that I did because it was actually one of my favorite panels of the whole weekend.
Yeah.
Was going to that Valiant panel. And I kept going to their table, and I had a budget, and I was past my budget. You're here again. And I'm like, I want to buy the entire EXO like line, but I want to get them in nice deluxe hardcovers, right?
Yeah.
They had the two Harbinger deluxe hardcovers, and the thing is, all their series end.
Thank God.
Yeah. They'll do a Harbinger run.
Yeah.
Or an EXO run.
Yeah.
And then they finish.
Yeah.
And then they'll do their next launch of titles.
Yeah.
And then those will finish, and then they'll go back to a.
XO.
Harbinger,
yeah.
So you can follow it for however many issues. Like Quantum and Woody was 12,
yeah,
and then Archer and Armstrong was like 25,
yeah.
That's it. And then those characters stick around, but they'll be in someone else's book.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's really cool. Really reader-friendly, which the other companies,
They don't care.
They're like bullies, right? Just make them, put them 5 variant covers. You know, people are going to buy
them over all. With, like, 3 other books. That's okay. Don't worry. They'll buy it still.
Yeah.
Batman's having a big event. Everyone's involved.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I'm already reading Nightwing, I'm reading Batman, but I gotta slow down with the singles, right?
Yeah. There's only
so much I can do.
Yeah.
But now I'm gonna have to read everything, I'm like, forget it. But you know that this is the storyline that's gonna go down in history just like Court of Owls, right? And you're gonna be like, oh, I should have bought that when it was on the stands.
Yeah.
Like, did you realize the Amazing Spider-Man 15 that just was out with Mary Jane?
Yeah.
It's like a high-end book all of a sudden.
Yeah, it's like a $20 book now.
I saw it at the show, and it was like $20, $15, easy, second printing. You know where I found it?
Where?
I went a couple weeks ago to Legends Warehouse. The guys used to be Sci-Fi Comics.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
they had a bunch of boxes completely unorganized in a mess.
Yeah.
And I was just flipping through, and I found 2 copies of it for a regular price.
Oh, my God.
So I was like, win.
Nice.
Yeah. Those covers are really nice, those Alex
Ross. Dude, Alex Ross is like, he's only doing those covers now. Yeah. There was a point where, oh, no, he's doing the all new, all different Avengers covers. But there was a point where he was doing all the stuff that he loved, like all the titles that he liked and like all the teams and whatnot.
Yeah.
So he's doing Squadron Supreme covers, so I was like, oh my God, Supreme cover is awesome. But even like after he left, like those covers were dope. Like he's still doing pretty good. He's probably making a lot of money just on the covers.
Oh yeah, tons.
That's probably why he's not doing a buck, man.
Well, he's one of those guys too where if he's doing a book, you know, you can't schedule it.
Yeah, definitely.
He's just, I mean, just like, let him do his covers.
Yeah.
That's good enough.
So once again, thanks everybody for listening to this episode. Some of the bonus footage that we had of hanging out at Cyber City Comics with Jazz and Ronnie. Thanks to Jazz and Ronnie for always being up for being on the Cave of Solitude. It's great to have as many people as we can be guests and to be informative and give their opinions. And especially being able to go to the comic shop, your local comic shop, and be able to talk with some of the people who work there. It just adds another element to the show that we really appreciate having here. So shout out to them. Thank you everybody for listening. If you want to send us an email, you can send it to caveofsolitude@outlook.com, or you can follow us on Facebook. Just look for Eric Anthony. You'll see our page there. Feel free to send us a message, and we will communicate back with you guys. So once again, thanks everybody for being fans of the Cave of Solitude, and we will talk to you soon. Yeah. The best that there is, and what we do, me and that J, is the Cave of Solitude.